Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 1 through 3, and 14 through 16. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 644 in your pew Bible. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still confined in the court of the guard. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Excited to see the children and to have some time with you this morning. So I'm inviting all the children who would like to come on up. You have to come around the sides because it's Communion Sunday and those rails are closed. And for those of you who may be traveling for Thanksgiving and away this morning but worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens and we get to have a minute together. Good morning. Hey, Jack, I'm so glad to see you again. Hi, CJ. Oh, my goodness. I think you've all grown a foot since I saw you last. Oh my goodness, everybody looks so much bigger and grown up. Hopefully I don't look bigger. Maybe I do. I did eat a lot at Thanksgiving, but this robe hides a lot. Well, I'm so glad to see you. And for those of you who remember, I have been away for 3 months. The church gave me the chance to take a little break and spend some time resting and lots of time praying, and I got to travel, and it was really, really wonderful. All sorts of good things. But I have so enjoyed being back this morning and seeing all of these wonderful people and wonderful faces, and I've lost count of how many hugs I've gotten. I'm a hugger, and so when I see someone I haven't seen in a while, I just love to get a hug. So I want you to imagine something with me, and you can close your eyes if you want to, or you can keep them open, but I want you to imagine someone in your life who loves you a lot. Maybe it's a parent, a grandparent, a cousin, or a friend, and maybe you haven't seen each other for a little while, but you see each other, and you just start running toward each other with open arms, and then you give a big hug. That reminds me a little bit of what God is like. That's how God moves toward us. We're in this special season in the church called Advent. Did you hear that earlier this morning? Can y'all say that with me? Advent. It's 4 weeks right before Christmas, and it helps us get ready for Christmas. And we think about how Jesus came into the world, how God came into the world as a baby Jesus to love us and be with us. So think about next time you're praying through this season of Advent that God is always moving toward you and me with open arms, just like that, with love, to give us big hugs of love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you are always coming to us with arms wide open in love. You never turn away from us. Help us to open our arms to you too. We love you so much, God. Thank you for loving us and holding us just as we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. It's right there in the Christmas red sweater by the door. Good to see you. And as they make their way to the Children's Chapel, will you all pray with me? Gracious God, much time has passed since we have been together as a congregation. And one of the things you have reminded me of is that you are on the move. You are at work in each one of our lives and in the world. And I am a limited, finite, imperfect person who's been given the privilege of opening up the scriptures for a few moments on this Sunday morning. So whether it's through me or in spite of me, help all of us feel your presence and hear your word of hope through your prophet Jeremiah as we worship today. In Christ we pray. Amen. 3 months. That's a long time to be away. In some ways, now that I'm here, it's like, oh, just went by like that. But while I was away, it was an extended time. It really felt like a nice long time of rest. And as I've said earlier, it was everything I hoped it would be. And I want you to hear that from me and to hear my gratitude for your gift of that renewal leave. But there's a lot to catch up on. A lot happens in the course of 3 months. And I don't know all of the things that have happened in your lives individually. And I hope we have a chance to grab coffee or sit down together and you can just tell me how God's been at work in your life over the past 3 months. I know a little bit about some things that have happened in your life together as a congregation. All sorts of good things. I know that for the first time, or at least the first time in many years, you had a children's Sabbath, a Sunday morning in September when the children led worship. I know you had a wonderful all-church retreat up at Beersheba Springs. You built a Habitat house. You've continued to serve the vulnerable in our community with Quiet Place and the youth going to Trinity Commons and all sorts of wonderful things that God has been doing in and through you over the past 3 months. I know also there have been bumps in the road and challenges and griefs. I know that as I stand here this morning, there are some from our beloved church family who are no longer with us, and that we grieve together the loss of some of our beloved church family. I think about dear Betty Dobson, who died at 103. She was the very first person I visited in her home when I started at West End, and I was sad not to be here in that moment. I know that the staff has been through a lot. And Melanie Paulson, our HR director, took a new job in October to be the HR director at the Elephant Sanctuary. Who's going to be mad about that? But it was a big loss for the staff. And then, of course, tragically, just a few weeks ago, our dear Julie Catterton, who was on paper, an administrative assistant to so many of us on staff, but off paper was our party sparkler, the glue, the surrogate big sister and mom to so many of us on the staff. And to be away from you all in that moment of loss was really hard. And the uproar and the tumult with all the emotions around the election and all of the changes happening in our world around us, it's been hard as well. And the same is true for me. My 3 months away had so much that was wonderful. I got to spend 5 days not talking to anyone at the Gethsemane Monastery, just praying and resting and keeping silent. David and I had some great times in Nashville, concerts and plays, and we went kayaking. We had a fabulous weekend in Asheville for Parents Weekend at UNC Asheville. We got to go to France for 3 weeks, and it was just everything we hoped it would be. But we had some trials, too. 3 days after we got back from Parents Weekend at Asheville, Hurricane Helene came through. And we had to rescue Levi, got a flight from Charlotte home, and then Levi was home for 5 weeks back on Zoom. And this had been a transfer for Levi, and Levi had just started to flourish and build relationships there at UNC Asheville, and it was just like cut off. And that was hard. And then, of course, losing Julie was a big loss. And then yesterday, we had to put our dog down after 16 years, and that's heavy on my heart. So any extra hugs you want to give today, I will welcome them. So these 3 months have had both beautiful things and tragic things, ups and downs, good times and bad times, and that's life. That's a cross-section of life right there for all of us. So here we are with all of these things and experiences, joys and griefs, and we're beginning this new season, the season of Advent. And we turn to the prophets. Throughout these 4 weeks, we'll be leaning into the voices of the prophets to hear what they have to offer us as a people of God. Now, as I said, I don't know where you are this morning. I imagine there are some of us this morning who are in a season of joy and contentment and fulfilled hopes. And as the congregation of God, we rejoice with those who rejoice. Praise God. I'm grateful that you are in that place. And there are others in our midst who are in a season of grief and pain and anxiety. And we weep with those who weep. And we're all in that together. But no matter where you find yourself this day, as the season of Advent begins, I think Jeremiah's got a word for us. And that word is hope. So let me remind us who Jeremiah was and what's going on when he speaks these words that Brant read for us this morning. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet very young. And so his ministry spanned across at least 3 different kings in the land of Judah. The first king was considered, according to the scriptures, to be a good king. His name was Josiah. He ruled for a long time, and he really wanted to get the people of God back to who they were called to be, living according to God's justice and righteousness, caring for the poor and the vulnerable, being faithful in worship, putting God first in all things. So he instituted all of these reforms, and he tried really hard, but then he died, and the next king came along, and the book of Kings tells us he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the one who followed him. But Jeremiah, no matter who was on the throne, spoke the word of the Lord. He spoke God's truth. He didn't play favorites with Josiah and the others. He just spoke up for the kingdom of God. And he continually reminded the kings and the people of God's vision for God's people. That justice and that righteousness. God wanted God's people to be a community where all people mattered, where the poor were lifted up and the vulnerable, the widow and the immigrant and the orphan were seen and cared for, where everybody had enough, and where God was at the very center of the life of the people. Not a king, but God. And that was the vision that Jeremiah lifted up. And because he saw so many ways that Israel wasn't living up to God's vision, he continued to warn them that things are going to change, bad things are going to happen, there are going to be consequences to your bad choices. And that got louder as the bad kings came along, so loud that they shut him up in prison. And the bad things happened. The Babylonian army came in and tore down the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, and carried off thousands of Jews into exile in Babylon. It was the worst thing the people could have imagined. Life as they knew it, the structure of the government and of religious institutions was destroyed and in rubble. How can you move on from that? And so I wonder if we can identify with that moment. In our own ways, in our own lives, in the world around us, have we been at a place where we have felt like, how can we move on from this? When life as we've known it looks like rubble and everything is gone. Well, listen to the word of Jeremiah. As he sits in a prison cell, if he had a window, which we don't know if he had one or not, but if he had a window, what he saw outside his window was devastating. Just rubble. And yet now he shifts from a word of warning, from a word of judgment, to a word of hope. And he sends out this word from within his prison walls to those who are in exile and to those who remain in the land. Even now, he says, even now, in the darkest of dark moments, God is on the move. Our God remains our God, and God is with us. God has never turned away from us. Even now, God is about to renew God's promises. God is doing the work even now of rebuilding. That's a word of hope that echoes across the thousands of years to us as a people and to each one of us in our lives. No matter what kind of moment you find yourself in, God is even now moving toward you with arms open wide, arms of mercy and love and healing and acceptance and hope and assurance that this is not the end, that God is a builder of God's kingdom. And this kingdom that God continues to build is a kingdom of justice and righteousness and love and mercy and hope. And our invitation is to open our arms wide and receive this love of God, this one who is coming into the world, this one we're preparing for during this season of Advent, to believe it's true that this God sees us and loves us. Our job is to keep the eyes of our hearts open to notice those signs of the kingdom and the kingdom of justice and righteousness, and to participate in the rebuilding work that God is already doing, even now. So I wonder where you've seen it. You've seen glimpses of this rebuilding work in your life and in the world around us? I've seen it. A few days after we got Levi home from Asheville, we were looking at the footage of the destruction, just the brown waters of the French Broad River just taking out the River Arts District, where we had just been eating and dancing and having a great time. And we saw this little video of the little town of Marshall, North Carolina, if you know that area, just north of Asheville, right on the river, sweet little downtown area, totally washed out. And it was a video of these two women, singers, who call themselves, of all things, Rising Appalachia. And they're standing in front of a FEMA trailer with all of the people who are working and volunteering to clean out and begin to rebuild. And they're wearing their boots and ankle deep in mud. And they're singing. They're singing a song of hope, a song of rebuilding in the middle of the rubble. That's who we're called to be, messengers of hope, no matter what is going on around us. I see a sign of the kingdom at the table today. How strange it is that we continue to come to this table and receive this bread and receive this cup. People looking in on us are thinking, what in the world is going on in there? But we know what this is. This is a sign of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of God that is being built and emerging in our midst. Our host is Jesus Christ himself, the one who came into the world with open arms of mercy. He hosts us and sets a place for every single one. And we all matter at this table. We all have a place. No place is higher than any other. And we get to share the good news that everybody's invited. And we get to participate in the kingdom that Christ is building at this table. So my friends, today, wherever you are on the journey, if you are rested and well, if you are exhausted and anxious, if you are grieving and lost, come to the table. Because the God of love who is coming toward you, and even now, is rebuilding our lives and our world. Thanks be to God.